What's up, apes? Happy first day of spring to everybody out there. And in case you didn't know that it was the first day of spring, don't bother going outside, checking the temperature, and definitely don't go and touch grass. Just get right back onto your computer and look at the stats related to the housing market. So, as the Northern Hemisphere in the United States starts to thaw out from this winter that we've been having, the housing market is starting to experience a very similar dynamic, finally starting to thaw just a little bit. So, great day for housing stocks. It really was the first positive news related to housing since the people of Florida found out that air conditioners were invented. So we'll be talking about that in just a quick second. Of course, we got some major stock moves of the day to get into. We have Reddit IPOing. The ultimate meme stock is officially available for purchase by idiots like you and me. So I can't wait to see how you degenerates gamble this thing away and what kind of nonsense we can get into. Let's turn this into the new GME. You know, I need some excitement in my life, and I can't remember the last time I felt joy since GameStop hit $300 a share. So let's go ahead and do the same thing with Reddit if you guys don't mind. Then, of course, to finish up the stories for the day, we have a huge lawsuit that just dropped yesterday against none other than the king of Cupertino themselves. The DOJ is going after Apple. So this is basically the fourth try in the past 4 years that the DOJ has taken a swing at mega cap tech companies. We had Amazon, Alphabet, Meta Platforms. They all took it right on the chin. We don't expect much less from Apple, but the case here is pretty damning from the DOJ. So stay tuned for our thoughts on that in just a quick second. Of course, before we get into anything too fun, let's talk about the market snapshot here of the day. It was an absolutely phenomenal day for the Alpha portfolio. We rose about 40 basis points and completely destroyed the pathetic, embarrassing returns of the NASDAQ. They only rose about 20 basis points on the day, while the S&P 500 rose about 32 bips. It was a great day to be underweight Apple. That was a huge reason for the success on the day. Plus, like I said, outperformance in housing stocks, that helps us out a ton, especially our Zillow call. If you haven't read the Zillow report, go ahead and check that out. It's on our site. It's on my LinkedIn page. Go ahead and find it and let us know how wrong we are, because we would love to lose money right alongside you. There's nothing more, nothing creates better friendships than losing money together. So get in on it with us and we'll have a lot of fun along the way. It was a relatively weak day for Bitcoin and Ethereum and other crypto assets as well. You know, since the launch of the spot ETFs back in about mid-January, it's been nothing but ripping to the moon for the first, 11 weeks or so, or the first like 8 weeks or so, however long it's been. But over the past week, this thing has absolutely plummeted. Bitcoin, they set new all-time highs above the $72,000-$73,000 range, currently trading around $65,000, but it's good to see that they were able to come back up and cross over the $65,000 line once again. This is the kind of volatility that, you know, Bitcoin investors have been used to for years, but now we're talking about grandma and grandpa, these traditional finance boomer investors that are getting in on the asset class. We can't wait to see how they're going to react, because their inflows are what's been driving a lot of these money managers to be purchasing a shit ton of Bitcoin and Ethereum. That's been boosting the price in the meantime. So we can't wait to see how they handle this kind of volatility. These people are old. It's boomers, guys. They're going to get whiplash if you start to fall too fast once again. So we'll see what goes on over the coming days. But all right, let's go ahead and get into some of the banana bits for the day. So first and foremost, leave it to the Swiss, guys. If anybody's going to be taking a financial risk, it is going to be the Swiss. And they did not disappoint on that front yesterday. The Swiss National Bank officially becoming the new trendsetter for rate cutting. They actually had the balls to come out here and cut their rates, while the Bank of England and the European Central Bank, they just kind of followed suit with what the Federal Reserve did and held rates steady right now. They pretty much do that every time. Their meetings are like a day after the Fed, so I'm pretty sure they're just, looking over at Jay Powell's test and copying whatever answers he wrote down. At least that's certainly what it seems like, but hey, we're definitely not mad, as long as they're not raising rates, because that makes my portfolio go down and that makes me cry myself to sleep. So we definitely don't want that to be happening, but shout out to the Swiss National Bank for taking on those risks. All right, commercial and industrial loans are starting to come back to life as well. These things committed suicide at the start of the pandemic, effectively. But now, just over the past couple of months, we're starting to see these things start to pick back up and get into the range of, about somewhat close to pre-COVID levels. Definitely not back there just yet, but starting to move back in that direction. But of course, we got some weak-ass earnings reports from names like Lululemon and Nike. Lulu is absolutely plummeting after hours. It's down about 10% last I checked. And Nike, they managed to beat on earnings, and they actually popped up about 5% prior to then declining another 6%. Nike had a very good fourth quarter. They beat on the top and bottom line, but analysts are slow readers, guys, so it took them a little while to get down into the guidance section of the press release. And once they got into the guidance portion of things, it was, look out below from there, quite honestly, because guidance was relatively weak, definitely caught analysts by surprise, and we will be writing about that tomorrow, so stay on the lookout for that on Monday. All right, let's go ahead and get into the big story of the day here. Hope for the homies. If you're an idiot like me and you have the balls to try to buy a house in 2024, you know how painful it has been. Jesus Christ. My banana just fell over. Obviously, we can't have that. The housing market is what should fall over. At least we would expect, we're hoping prices would be falling over, but that's not really what we're seeing. So far in 2024, we know that deal flow is back. We know that Bitcoin and Ethereum are back to all-time highs. The S&P 500 is back to all-time highs as well. March Madness is so damn back. Everything is back in 2024, including the housing market. So this was really, like we said, you know, some of the first positive news that we've gotten related to housing in quite a long time. So what we're talking about here is existing home sales. This is the growth in the number of existing home sales on a month-to-month basis. Economists were expecting a loss of 1.3 or a decline of 1.3% in February, but they actually ripped about 9.5%. So that was a huge surprise to economists and everybody else out there. So seeing that activity come back in, that's a thawing of the housing market. So like winter is thawing here in the US and in the Northern Hemisphere, the housing market is starting to thaw a little bit as well. In fact, this was the first time that we've seen back-to-back monthly increases in existing home sales in over 2 years. That means the last time this happened, Will Smith hadn't even slapped the shit out of Chris Rock and then yelled about his cheating wife at the Oscars. That was the most ridiculous thing of all time, but what if I told you back then that we wouldn't see back-to-back gains in existing home sales until right now? You probably would have freaked out. I would have had an aneurysm personally, because obviously that's what should be top of mind. Now, realistically, what you guys should have been doing is skipping homework back in the day and purging, touring homes after you got home from seventh grade. But either way, if you weren't touring properties, you're just as screwed over as I am. So we're in this together and let's talk about what's going on. Like we said, February existing home sales increased 9.5%. Existing home sales, they typically make up in the range of about 70 to 80% of any given period's total home sales, the rest being new construction or those new residential sales. Now, the largest portion of that increase came from the $1 million plus price range. That's about a 37% increase compared to February of last year. And, you know, that's compared to a very weak period as well, because 2023, we did see the least amount of home sales that we've seen since before the Clinton administration. Literally, it was during George Bush the first, I forget if he's W or HW, but it was during his administration the last time that home sales were this low. So it's been quite a while. We're starting to see a pick back up here in 2024. And that was the reason that we saw a lot of outperformance in some of the housing names like Zillow, like Builders FirstSource, like Airbnb, and a lot of other housing linked stocks. You know, we know who the culprit was. We know that it's interest rate. So home buyers, they're actually starting to get normalized to the current interest rate environment. So obviously it's been pretty terrible over the past couple of years. August 2021, we saw interest rates hit their absolute bottom. They were less than 3% on average. It was about 2.9% on average. And if you manage to sneak into one of those rates, you probably love that more than you love your second-born child. But then it didn't take too long for rates to absolutely moon once again. We were at 8% by November of 2023, just a couple of months ago. And now we're back down into the high 6%, low 7% range. So home buyers, they're starting to get used to this era of higher for longer. Everybody was freaking out when the Fed originally started saying higher for longer, but as usual, with time, we all start to calm the fuck down a little bit. So it seems like home buyers have taken their chill pill and are starting to get in on the action once again. So we're currently sitting at about 7%. The big takeaway here is that, first and foremost, we are never going back to that 2 to 4%. Mortgage rate range, that's certainly not going to be the norm for most people unless you have a 15,000 credit score or something like that. But most idiots like you and me, we're definitely not going to be in that range. So we got to go back and take a look at history here. So that 2 to 4% range is very abnormal in the history of the United States. That was during the ZIRP era. Don't be expecting that to come back at any point. Historically, we're much closer to about the 4.5% to 6.5%, maybe 7% range. So we might have a little bit of room to fall lower from here, but don't get too hopeful on it just yet. Now, while Jay Powell is saying that they're going to be cutting rates later on this year, there's kind of another dynamic that's pulling home prices in the other direction. So when we're talking about rate cuts, that means that home prices are going to be rising. Anybody that's taken a fixed income 101 class knows that interest rates and the principal value of an asset move in inverse directions, and that is the exact same case in the housing market. So if Powell is cutting rates throughout the rest of the year, if that was in a vacuum, we could expect home prices to increase more and more. But at the same time, we are finally starting to see some supply creation within the housing market. Looks like home builders are starting to realize, like, hey, there might actually be some money here. And they're starting to allow young people to not be homeless in the future. So they're starting to give us a place to live. We saw new residential construction spike up in February. That isn't going to impact existing home sales whatsoever because that's new construction, so that would be new home sales. We don't have that data right now. It'll be coming out in the coming days, so definitely stay tuned for that, because we'll see if that's kind of going in the same direction as these existing home sales. That is confirmation that we're moving in the right direction overall, and that maybe buying a home in 2024 isn't the worst financial decision that anybody could possibly make. Now, we have these two kind of these two sides pulling on us, right? So rates are going lower, supply is increasing. Both of those have inverse effects on prices. And the question going forward for 2024 is which one has bigger magnitude? If you ask me, it's going to be rate cuts. So we are probably not going to see home prices decline. That pretty much never happens in the United States unless a goddamn pandemic or a global financial crisis happens. For example, just came up with those off the top of my head, definitely not based on anything that's happened in the past. But that's kind of what we're looking at right now. It would take a ton of new supply for that to be pulling home prices down. Plus, homes, they're the biggest asset for most people. So grandma and grandpa leaving their house to you or selling you their house, they certainly are not going to be wanting to give you much of a discount. It's the biggest asset for everybody in America, especially if you're buying from somebody else's grandmother and grandfather. They probably bought that thing for a couple of bananas back in 1959, and you're going to be paying somewhere in the range of $400,000, $500,000 for it. Don't you just love being born in the 90s and early 2000s? I mean, that's probably the biggest economic mistake of our lives. So I suggest you call your parents and tell them to go fuck themselves for that. But, or you could just be like me, get a little bit innovative, get creative with some of these solutions. I went out and bought a tent for about $79, got a decent rate on the mortgage as well. So I'm going to be pitching that up in my parents' front lawn. Anybody's welcome to join me and come commiserate there. We're going to be moving the Daily Peel Global headquarters. So a lot of fun stuff to come your way. All right, let's go ahead and move into the stock movers of the day. So first and foremost, we have Reddit. I can't believe that I'm talking about this, but yes, Reddit did IPO here today. This is the ultimate meme stock officially in the market. Like I said, guys, I need some excitement and some fun back in my life. I haven't felt it since GameStop hit $300 a share, and that's what we want to do to Reddit. So let's go out there and pump it. We're doing a good job already. It's up about 48.4% on the day. Now, it was up as much as 70% from its opening price. Now, the way that these IPOs list, it's a little bit weird. So the listing price is very different than the opening price, because effectively what happens is the company and the investment bankers that they're working with decide on a price that they want to sell the shares for into the market. And these are getting sold to, not you, basically not retail investors. That's, we can't have access to these pre-IPO shares to get that cost basis. So then once it lists, as soon as Reddit listed, it started to get bid up in these market makers to $47 a share. So that was really the opening price. So if we go off that $47 line, it was really up only about 2% or so on the day, because it closed around $48.50. But still, very solid sign for the IPO market in 2024. Hopefully that'll motivate actual good companies like Stripe to actually go public. Guys, Reddit has been around since 2005. They have never once turned a profit. And don't give me the same, oh, Amazon took 20 years to get profits anyway. Amazon is one of the most successful, biggest companies of all time. They have billions of users all around the world. Reddit has a couple million. Now, don't come at me if you're a big Reddit user. I love the app as well. But still, it's just not the kind of company that at least we here at the Alpha Portfolio would want to be investing in. It was a good test case for social IPOs as well, as there hasn't been one since Pinterest back in 2019. But definitely a good day for Reddit. They're sitting at about an $8.1 billion market cap right now. It's a big haircut from the $10 billion that they got back in 2021 when everybody was drinking the equity wine like nothing before, and we were all just kind of losing our minds a little bit. So it did get a little bit of a haircut from that point, but nothing worth crying about at this point, especially when you're up nearly 50% on your debut day. All right, let's go ahead and look into Micron as well. You know, Kanye West famously once said, mayonnaise colored Benz, I push miracle whips. Well, Micron pushes miracle chips. At least they did last quarter. The stock was up about 14.1% on their earnings release. They absolutely ripped. They destroyed earnings estimates at 42 cents a share versus the 25 cents a share that was expected. Sales of 5.82 billion beat as well. Very solid day for them. They're riding the AI wave. They sell chips that help out with memory and help out with storage. So they're kind of riding the data center wave just as much as Nvidia is, but getting a lot less attention. Definitely go and check out Micron. All right, moving on down below, some of the losers of the day. We have Accenture, first and foremost. These guys need to go hire some consultants or maybe ask AI what they can do to turn their business around. Or they can simply ask the consultants and AIs they have working for them. But clearly that's not working out too well, as they had very dumpy earnings and even worse guidance, only guiding for about 1% to 3% revenue growth in 2024. Obviously, markets threw up at that idea and the stock plummeted about 9.3% on the day. Our last big loser of the day was Darden Restaurants. We all love the great American institution that is Olive Garden, but they got absolutely brutalized in Q4, probably because of the return of Applebee's Dollaritas. I mean, when I'm deciding which fine dining restaurant I would like to take my girlfriend to, it's generally, you know, are we going to go to Chili's, are we going to Applebee's, or are we going to the Olive Garden? Olive Garden's got to be reserved for special occasions, of course, so it seems like Dollaritas were dominating the dollar restaurant market. But it was a very weak period for Olive Garden and pretty much every other restaurant that Darden owns. It was the first time since the pandemic ended that we've seen back-to-back, or that we've seen a quarter that had declining same-store sales. Longhorn Steakhouse was the only brand that didn't have a decline in same-store sales, so definitely a tough quarter for the restaurant company. All right, finally, we have the mic drop to bomb drop. So Apple, the kingpin of Cupertino, is putting up the dukes against the Department of Justice. Basically, you know, for the past couple of months, Apple's lawyers have been throwing a nonstop rager since they won that absolutely epic lawsuit against Epic Games, where, for whatever reason, a judge managed to side with Apple, saying that the company is basically allowed to tax everything, kind of giving it, like, governmental authority. But, obviously, that's not really a great call. So the Department of Justice is saying, like, wait, 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 let's take a step back and let's address the bigger issue. So the problem with the Epic case was that it was a little bit too specific, but this is a much, much broader case. So the Department of Justice and 17 attorneys general, yes, that's how the word is pronounced, attorneys general, don't ask me why. That's just what Google kept telling me to do. It kept underlining it in red, which made me feel bad about myself, so I just ended up bending the knee to Google and I just changed it. But the DOJ and 17 attorneys general filed suit against Apple alleging antitrust violations. Basically, it comes down to a lot of different things, but effectively what they're saying is that Apple unfairly uses the control over the iPhone ecosystem to leverage its own products in a lot of different ways. Think about how they don't allow other companies to put a wallet on your phone, for example, or they don't allow other companies to sell apps on the iPhone as well. Basically, what the government is saying is that the Apple iPhone should be treated like a common carrier. When you're a common carrier, like railroads or like shipping companies or like anything else like that, you are not allowed to discriminate over the products that go on your platform. In this case, Apple is kind of the modern-day railroad, and that makes Tim Cook the modern-day Cornelius Vanderbilt, or maybe Steve Jobs is the modern-day Cornelius Vanderbilt. But if you ask me, this is kind of a clear-cut violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. Now, it all comes down to how this is going to be argued in court and whether this is a judge or a jury trial. If this is a jury trial, it's going to take a lot of explaining to the jurors, especially, I mean, if I was on the jury, I would need 3 days at least to just understand what the hell is even going on here. So it's going to take quite a while to explain to the jurors what the issue is. But if this is a case with a judge, it should be a little bit more expedient. Either way, we think the DOJ actually has a solid case here, unlike what I did against Amazon, Alphabet, and Meta, when it basically sued them because it didn't want them to buy things or it felt like they were getting too big. There is actual legal violations that could be argued in the Apple case. Now, I am the furthest thing from a lawyer. I can barely read, to be quite honest with you. So we have no idea exactly how this is going to turn out. But if there was one case that has teeth against one of these big mega cap tech companies, it is going to be this one against Apple. That's probably why you saw the stock down about 4.5% on the day. Will the DOJ and AGs actually win against Apple? What changes can we expect if they do? And how is this going to affect shareholders in the long term if Apple has to compete on their own products and platform? That about does it for the day, guys. Of course, we want to finish up with a stock that's related something to do with Apple. So we have Professor Cole Takes himself, Mr. Scott Galloway, saying, "For the wealthiest billion people on Earth, iOS is the operating system of their life." That kind of summarizes it right there, that one company is controlling the lives of a ton of people. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. This is the great American court system in action. Obviously, it's going to take probably several decades for this thing to be worked through the court. So, you know, that's what Apple is going to do, try to delay and obfuscate the case. But we'll see what's going on. My life runs on iOS. I'm sure yours does too. So things could be changing. We might have some actual competition on these phones going forward. And one of the biggest things they talked about was actually the text messages and how shitty it is to text some broke loser that has an Android. Basically, the DOJ is saying that it's so rude of Apple to be making these Android users seem like broke losers that, you know, they didn't really want to go with that going forward. So we'll see how the case turns out. There's a lot of big questions to have there. I'm going to stop my yapping for the day because I don't really know who else to stop. That's one thing I got to work on is the transitions to an ending in these videos. But either way, always love talking to you guys. I'm going to go eat my banana for the day, and I hope you guys too do. I hope you guys had some fun peeling back markets with us here today. Go read the piece. Go click on our advertisement so I can keep my job as well. Happy investing, happy trading, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye now.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, patrick@wallstreetoasis.com. And until next time.